This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Can be found in the book of Exodus. We'll be looking at chapter 35, starting in verse 30. Chapter 35, verse 30. We will move on to chapter 36, verse 1 as well. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to design beautifully wrought works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of skillful work. And he hath put in his heart, that he may teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the skillful workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and any of those that design beautifully wrought work. Then wrought Bezalel, and Oholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the serving of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. This is the word of God.
If you remember, we talked about the soul, that word psuche. It's the idea that your body has something that is giving it life. In Genesis chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there quickly, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that says, The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We're going to come to a time in a very short period of time where two individuals will be standing on a stage. And you look at them and they both will look completely and wholeheartedly identical. They will be completely identical. And you think they're identical twins. But what you'll find out is that one of them is a living being as described in Genesis chapter 2. And the other one is a robot. It won't be long. And the question is, what's the difference between them? The difference is that one of them has a soul and a spirit, the other does not. And that will be the difference through all this technological advancement that we're going to see happen in the relatively short period of time. God has given you a soul. And that soul is what gives your body life and consciousness and animates the members of your body. If your soul were to leave your body, you would become a collection of cells. But the soul comes inside your body and gives life. Now, when God created you, He created you as a single unit. You will have a body in the new heavens and the new earth. You are a single unit, but that single unit consists of parts. In what we call the soul, the animation of the body, there are these different dimensions or aspects or facets, one of which is your mind. The other could be your heart or emotions. This is the part of the you-ness, the identity of you. We're going to look here this morning at the mind and how God has given you a mind. And in this verse in Thessalonians, He wants to set apart your mind. He wants to sanctify your mind. He says, let your whole being be sanctified, your spirit, soul, and body. Jesus taught you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The mind is an amazing thing that God has given us. The human brain can store an estimated 2,500,000 gigabytes. Memories are stored in the brain, short-term, long-term. The brain uses about 20% of the body's total oxygen and energy. Your brain, God makes your brain work so that you can prioritize memory according to emotional significance. About 95% of all decisions occur in the subconscious mind. 800 memories per second for 75 years are what your mind is generating as you go along. Your mind makes 732 million calculations just to catch a ball. It's an amazing thing God has given. Your mind, the ability to think, the ability to reason, it's the intellectual and imaginative hub of your soul. It's where thinking, reasoning, imagining, remembering all happens in your mind, which God created the brain to be the vehicle through which the mind operates. God made your mind. Did He make it amazing? He did. And the question is, why? Why did God make your mind so amazing? Well, just like God made your spirit so amazing and He set it apart to be used for Him, so God wants to sanctify your mind. God wants your mind to be set apart for His purposes. And we see this happen in a few ways in the Bible. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. So we're in 1 Thessalonians, or if you're in Genesis, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3. You see, when you come into this world, unfortunately, your mind is tainted. It's like when you get a package in the mail and the package is damaged. It's from the get-go, it's from the start, there's something wrong. And our minds are damaged from the start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing here now, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. When you come into this world, there's something wrong with your mind. God has blind, Satan has blinded it. God brings the gospel to remove that veil. And so, from the get-go, in order to have a sanctified mind, we must become born again so that our minds are renewed. But even after being born again, that old nature remains and the battle of the mind continues and rages on. You have a redeemed mind, but the Bible talks about you need to have a renewed mind. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. And so the first way we look here, how God sanctifies your mind, is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And two, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Your mind needs to be renewed, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the first here is to have a set apart mind. It needs to be renewed. God needs to come and change the way we think. He needs to rewire our thinking. Our thinking is tainted. It is bent. It is wrong. When I was pulling trailers as part of my work, there was a time the trailer plug fell off of the truck and was dragging on the ground, and it got worn down and we had to replace it. And we went to the mechanic, and the mechanic there put a new plug on, and we plugged it in. And what happened was the wires were not in the right places. And so you'd hit the brake and the turning signal would go on. Or you turn the signal on and the brake light would go on, or the reverse light would go on. And so there was a wiring issue. And until the mechanic came and took out the wires and put them where they belong, it was going to stay that way. You hear me? And until God comes into your mind and unplugs the way you normally think, according to the flesh, and plugs it into the way He wants you to think, you won't think right. We need rewiring. We need renewing. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, if you will. This idea of calling upon the name of the Lord to renew our minds in Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Amen. And His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When knowledge enters your heart and wisdom is pleasant to your soul. We have to call upon God to rewire us. And it takes active pursuit of the truth. God gave you your mind. He has invited you to allow Him to rewire it. And you must, by your will, take your thoughts and move in the direction of the truth. You must open up your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind so that you understand what you're reading. Otherwise, you won't understand. You have to ask God what you see in the news. You have to ask God what you hear on the radio, if this is truth, and you need the Spirit to give you discernment, and you need to do your research with your mind that God has given you to get the picture of what truth is, because the devil is the father of lies. And so we need the renewing of the mind to help us understand the truth. You have power over your thinking. Yes, Satan has taken it captive. Yes, God has redeemed it, but you still have power to think. You have the ability to choose what you're thinking. In fact, I'll give you an example. Do not think about a green polar bear surfing the Pacific while playing a tuba. Now, what is in your mind? Exactly. I didn't generate that in your head. You took the words, you processed it, and something popped up there, even though I told you not to. Because you have power over your mind. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You have a sense of control that God has given you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive into obedience of Christ. You have the calling to bring the thoughts that come into your mind into captivity to obedience to Christ. The brain functions are partially dependent on your will. You must command your arm to move. I'm commanding my arm to move in similar ways. You command your brain to think. What are you thinking about? How are you processing the thoughts that God gives you? Look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I used to think that it was okay for people to have sexual relations outside of marriage, but the thinking of God rewired me. I used to think it was okay for people to engage in behaviors that brought them pleasure. Didn't matter what it was, but God had to rewire my thinking. I used to think that it didn't really matter who was in positions of authority because I was just involved in my world, but God had to rewire my thinking. What are you thinking about? How is God using your mind for His glory? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything of virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And yet so many people will sit in front of a TV and meditate on filth for hours on end and listen to this and watch that and read this, and they're not meditating and thinking about what God wants them to think about. They're scrolling on the phone or they're looking at this, and I include myself. How is our time being used in how we think? It's amazing how one thought can change the direction of your future. If you are a boat setting sail from America to Europe, you start at one point, you have a destination in mind, you start setting sail in that destination. If you're 10 feet from your hub, if you change course an inch, it won't make much of a difference, amen? But when you just set sail and a wind comes in, changes your course an inch, where are you going to land? The North Pole? Depends if you believe the earth is flat or not. Where are you going to land? And with your thoughts and with your thinking, you might think that that thought that entered your mind that you entertained for a little bit is harmless. But where is the changing course of your life? Bring every thought into captivity to obedience to Christ. Amen? We must be renewed. Secondly, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. How can we be sanctified in our mind? Ask God to change the way you think and to ask Him what you should think about, how you should reason, how you should process thoughts. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see the second way our minds are sanctified. Moses writes through inspiration of God, chapter 8, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember." You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers knew, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Listen, He's saying, remember, remember. So not only must we be renewed, we must be reminded. We must be reminded. God has given our minds the ability to remember. In order to set it apart, we must remember the things that He does. Remember the promises He has made. Remember the way that He saved us. Remember the way that He answered that prayer. Remember the way that He spoke through our circumstances. We must willfully bring to mind. It does not happen on its own. You must make the decision in your head that you are going to remember what God has done in your life. Powerful thing, the capacity to remember is. I'll give you an example. There's an old Roman story which tells of a Roman emperor who was once enjoying massive victory. And he had the privilege of marching with his troops back into the city through the streets of Rome. And he had all of his captured trophies and all the captives behind him in the train. And the emperor was marching through with his troops, and the streets were lined with the people and the guards holding them back, and the tall legionnaires lining the street edges to guard them. And at one point in the triumphal route, there was this platform up on one side where the emperor's family was standing, where his wife, the queen, the empress, was standing there to watch the emperor go by. And on that platform was the mother's youngest son, just a little boy. And as the emperor came near, the boy saw his father, the emperor. He jumped down from that platform and he started weaving throughout the crowds of people going there. And as he approached the place where the emperor was marching up, there the legionnaire holds him back and says, "What right do you think you have?" And the little boy looked up at the man and he said, "That's not just the emperor, that's my father." And the legionnaire says, "By all means, you may go." Now, how many of you are experiencing deja vu? Raise your hand. Oh boy. How many of you remember that from last week? Raise your hand. Amen. I gave that sermon illustration last week on a Father's Day sermon. You remembered it. If you didn't raise your hand, you weren't in church. That's okay. Powerful memory. Well, here's where it applies. Look at Lamentation chapter 3. We don't realize the capacity to remember is so beyond our understanding of it. For example, that sermon illustration that I gave, it is likely that you did not think about that sermon illustration outside of the sermon that I gave. It may be that you spent the whole week and not once during the week did you think about that sermon illustration. You may have. I'm not condemning you or whatever if you didn't. I'm saying you probably didn't bring it up. It was just there in the subconscious. I spoke words. Something happened where you remembered. Well, God works in your life. God gives you His word. God gives you promises. God answers prayer. And you have the capacity to access that through your memory. Here's Jeremiah who's distraught. He's discouraged. His people are being exiled. He feels like God is attacking him and he's pouring out his heart to God. And he says in verse 19, "I remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall." And then he says this, "My soul still remembers and sinks within me. But," verse 21, "this I recall to mind." See the active will of bringing to mind the memories you contain in your bank. He says, "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope." What does he recall to mind? Verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The power of your memory. When you're going through that difficulty, when you're struggling, set apart your mind by saying, "God, bring to mind the way you worked in my past. It has happened in my life where I've been going through a great difficulty and I was having my time with the Lord and I was reading this Bible verse and God graciously, without me asking, through what I was reading, brought to mind a flood of memories of everything He has done to show His love and show His mercy and show His concern in my life. And I was unexplainably encouraged and given the will to want to persevere and continue. How has God blessed you in your past? How has He brought you to salvation? How has He answered your prayers? Remember, even though you're in the wilderness, you're being fed manna. Remember, even though you're wandering, your shoes are not wearing out. Remember that God has promised He will bring you to the promised land. Amen. Bring to mind what He has done. Be reminded. Be renewed. Thirdly, be resourceful. In Exodus chapter 35, what Brother Todd read earlier was an amazing passage. In fact, I love this Bible character, Bezalel. I love him. It's a fascinating part of the story of the making of the tabernacle and such. And you have Bezalel and Aholiab. In fact, I like Bezalel so much, I thought it was an option on the table for my son's name, Bezalel. But we decided not to because it sounds too much like Beelzebub and we didn't want any confusion there. But here's this man who, it says that God, by his Spirit, filled him with knowledge and ability to create. Look, if you will, in in verse 34. Jump up to verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge of all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and so forth, to make this tabernacle something glorious." God filled Bezalel with his Spirit to be resourceful. Your mind. God, this is going to blow your mind. Your mind has the ability to create. To create. Now, mind you, you have to use resources that God has created out of nothing, right? You can't create anything out of nothing, but you can create. You have the ability in your mind to create something that no one has ever thought before, that no one has ever created. You have resources that God wants to set apart for His kingdom. God set apart Bezalel's mind, filled him with ability so that he could create this beautiful artistic work. And God wants to use your mind to generate ideas to further His kingdom. Are you with me? Think about what potential your mind has given in the hands of God. You see, that's the difference between just, you know, when we read something, when we watch something, when we listen to something, by and large, our minds are being led, right? Not bad. Knowledge comes in and thought and ideas come in. But too often we are comfortable with just being led with ideas. Too often we're just comfortable with being led by beauty and poetry and music and all these things. But God wants us to be the ones generating them too. God wants us to be the source of ideas that come out. God wants to use you to write beautiful poetry. God wants to use you to make beautiful music. God wants you to paint beautiful pictures. God wants you to come up with problem-solving, analytic ideas to overcome problems in the world. Give it to Him. Let Him use it. See what comes out. I knew a brother who... he was moved by Ray Comfort's ministry, and they started a Facebook page. I don't have Facebook, but the Living Waters ministry announced it. And so through my wife, I joined, and she gave me updates. And there was this group of evangelists in Wisconsin who would meet and do different events. And they were going to an Oktoberfest event in Appleton. In Wisconsin, Appleton is a big Oktoberfest event, and they were going to interact with people and preach in the streets and hand out tracts and all this stuff. And there was this one guy there who I got to meet and talk to, and he started a ministry called Parade the Gospel. Because he realized one day when he was at a parade, and he'd sit there at the parade and watch the parade go by, and he'd see just people who would walk down the street and just hand untold thousands of people things. And so God got a hold of his mind, and he used his mind and thought, hey, why don't I go to these different parades, and when people are parading down the streets, I can just go along the side of the street and just hand out gospel tracts. And the funny thing is people take them. Like they're taking the candy that the fire engine in front of them is throwing out there too. And so he started a ministry called Parade the Gospel, where he goes to different parades and he hands out gospel tracts down along the side streets to untold thousands of people. That was how God used his mind. It was another brother that I met when I went to a Georgia conference, and he told me how he and his wife, they had, they,
Actually, I don't know if he came up with the idea, but I thought it was a great idea. He does this ministry where there are all these homeless people that are in his area. And, you know, we struggle with the homeless person situation. We're like, do they really know? Like, are they really homeless? Or I knew somebody who was panhandling as his job. He made a good amount of money doing it. You know, he was a fake. And so you wonder, and so you're not sure. And what this guy did is he took gallon-sized Ziploc bags, and he would fill them with basic toiletries and stuff, and he'd go to the homeless people, and he'd hand the toiletries to them, and he'd share the gospel with them. And it's just, there's millions and millions and infinite amount of things that you can do for the glory of God with your mind. If you just take a moment and sit down and think, God, give me an idea. God, give me an ability. How can I create for your glory? I think ChatGPT would be slowing down if we as humans would rev up our God-given ability. Amen? We need to be resourceful. We need to be remembering. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Is your mind given into the hands of God? As this quote says, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that your spirit would work in our thinking and our thoughts and our abilities. I hope every single one of us here are convicted of something that we can change so that this wonderful, miraculous, amazing thing we call the mind that you have given us would be used for your glory, furthering your kingdom, spreading your name. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen.